Peter.
Good morning. As Kath said, today is the last instalment in our Advent series looking at some of the songs in Luke's Gospel that were sung leading up to and at the time of Jesus' birth. And today, we're looking at the song of the angels. The angels sang their song after telling the shepherds outside Bethlehem about the newly born baby Jesus. And the story can be found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, from verse 8, which I'll read. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." Straight away, this whole scene is remarkably different from the songs of Mary and Zechariah that Louise spoke about over the last 2 weeks. For starters, the song is only two lines long. But more interestingly, these are angels singing, a heavenly host, rather than people like you or me. Mary and Zechariah both sang out of a response to what they had seen God do, or to what God had promised to do for them. Their songs welled up out of their hearts, both full of thanks and of expectation for the future. They were a natural, human response to their personal encounters with God. Why, then, are the angels singing? No other angelic annunciation up until now had come with a side order of karaoke. So why this one? Well, because praising God is what the angels do. It's their thing. We see in Revelation that angels sing praises to God, and the authors of the Psalms knew the same. As, for example, we read in Psalm 148, "Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host." Angels in heaven are just a part of God's creation as we are here on earth, and they give God the praise and the glory that he's due just as we do. But here, they aren't praising him just because. They're giving praise and glory for the birth of Jesus and the unfolding of God's salvation plan for the world. In fact, it's amazing to see just how jubilant the angels are at the incarnation, at the birth of the Son of God, when it doesn't really have much to do with them. Jesus came down from heaven and passed by their nature, as the commentator Matthew Henry writes, and became human. But the angels still sing for joy and still glorify God. It's a comfort to us to see how the welfare and the happiness of man is of such importance to the angels that they would respond like this. And that's because the welfare and happiness of man is of such importance to God. Time and again, God had sent his angels, his messengers, to man to tell someone of this or that, to warn someone of one thing or another. But inevitably, even after what the angel had said had come to pass, man once again turned his back on God. We see this when the angel of the Lord tells Moses through the burning bush to free his people from Egypt. But once free, they turn away from God in the wilderness. We see this when the angel of the Lord raises up Gideon as a judge to serve God's people and to look after them, only for them to turn on him and to murder his sons after his death. And we see this every time the angel of the Lord sends a prophet, like Elijah or Elisha, to prophesy to God's people, only for them to ignore the warning. But this time wouldn't be like that. This message is altogether different. The coming of Jesus heralded God's ultimate salvation plan, the final victory over sin and death and the once and for all reconciliation of man to God. And the angels knew this full well. So we shouldn't be surprised at the outburst of song from the angels, because it's for the same reason that Mary and Joseph and Zechariah burst into song. It is in response to God's goodness and faithfulness to his people, you and me, and an overflow of excitement and joy at why Jesus had come, because he'd come to be our Saviour, as the angels themselves call him, today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. Now there is one slight sticking point in the song, which would be amiss of me to ignore. When we sing the carol While Shepherds Watched, which is based on this passage, the last verse goes like this. All glory be to God on high, and on the earth be peace. Goodwill henceforth from heaven to men, begin and never cease. But that isn't actually what the angels sing. The song actually goes, and peace on earth to those on whom God's favour rests. This peace apparently isn't promised to all, but only to a few, to those on whom God has favoured. But if we hold the belief that God's grace and mercy is available to everybody, which I do, then how do we explain this apparent favouritism? Why does it look like some are singled out and not others? Well, I'll start by saying that we know that the Bible tells us that God does not have favourites. In the Old Testament, God chose the people of Israel to be his chosen people, as much as they were the ones who were to reflect and to be a beacon of his glory to the other peoples around them. But this was never God's ultimate plan. For he told Abraham, the ancestor of the Israelites, that all nations would be blessed through him, that Israel was only the beginning, and that one day all peoples, Jews and non-Jews, would know the glory of God. Enter Jesus. This is what Jesus came to do. We heard 2 weeks ago, Mary sang that Jesus would be a light to the Gentiles, the non-Israelites, the non-Jews, which is you and me mostly, which means he would bring knowledge of God to them. And we see this in the book of Acts in the New Testament, when Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples, is called by God to the house of a Roman centurion who worshipped God but was not an Israelite, was not a Jew, to tell him about Jesus and to baptize him. Peter even says, now I realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. So, God definitely, definitively, does not have favorites. The Bible describes the scene when Jesus returns at the end of time as a wedding banquet, a party to end all parties, and every single person is invited to come. Just like the shepherds were invited by the angels to see the newborn king, we all, you, are invited to this party. You're invited to receive forgiveness for all that you've done wrong in the name of Jesus and through his sacrifice for you on the cross, and to know that God and to live in his love now and forever. That is the invitation that's given to you. In fact, in church, we're just about to start Alpha Online, which is an opportunity to explore life and the Christian faith in a friendly, open and informal way. And you're invited to that too. And we hope that by accepting the invitation to Alpha Online, you'll learn about and have a chance to respond to the greater invitation, to God's invitation to you, to accept his love for you and the forgiveness won for you by Jesus, and to go to the biggest bash ever when Jesus returns. To accept or not to accept this invitation is a choice we all have to make. And it's when you accept the invitation, that is when you find favor with God and the peace that the angels sing of. And the peace that we receive isn't just any old peace. It isn't inner peace or peace from war or conflict, but it's something much greater. The peace the angels are singing about is peace between man and God, an end to the enmity brought about by all the wrong things we do, our sin, the stuff that separates us from God. And that's because Jesus defeated sin for us on the cross. And through this peace, we're no longer enemies, but friends and even children of God, all because of Jesus' sacrifice for us. So that, in a nutshell, is the angel song, praising God for the good news of Jesus and the good work he will do for mankind on the cross, and promising peace and a loving, lasting relationship between God and those who accept Jesus' message. For they, the ones who accept the invitation, are the ones he favours. So, I ask you, what's your song? Do you sing praise because you know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? Or is your song less joyful? Or are you even silent because you've not responded to his invitation yet, like the shepherds did? If that's you, why don't you accept the invitation to Alpha Online, where everybody is invited to explore life and to explore the Christian faith in a safe, relaxed environment? You can book onto the course on the church website now at www.wkurc.org.uk/alpha-online. And feel free to pause the service here if you need to write that down. And if you already know Jesus, why don't you pray about who you could personally invite to come on Alpha Online? Your invitation to the greatest party in the world, a wedding feast to end all wedding feasts, an invitation that is to everybody, is waiting. The only question is, are you coming? Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise and worship you for your Son and for the work he did on the cross, destroying the barriers of sin and death, that we could know you, that we could be at peace with you, that we could be no longer enemies but friends. Lord, we thank you for that. Help us praise you the way the angels praise you, Lord, to glorify in your works and the great work you've done through Jesus. And Lord, I pray that people would listen to and accept the invitation that you offer, the invitation to the wonderful wedding feast and to eternal life in Jesus' name. I pray people would listen and they would think and they would accept. And Lord, I pray that people would accept the invitation to Alpha Online, where they get to explore all of these things in a safe, comforting, relaxed environment. We pray all these things in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. Eric's now going to lead us in a song called Thorns in the Straw. It's not quite a Christmas carol, but it's definitely based at Christmas. And after that, Peter is going to lead us in our prayers for the world. So let's sing together.